here at the lab for the Sci-Fi Happy Hour with Quinn and Shaw.
What's up?
We're back.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing?
We're back. Like a painful childhood memory. We are back.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. We got a good show for you lined up today. We got some things we're going to talk about.
So, well, today's episode three, we're going to take a brief look at The Mummy. Of course, that just came out recently. I thought we'd also talk about maybe some Dark Universe, which is the upcoming Universal movie franchise for Love of Monsters. And we've also got some recent adventures we want to share within the world of Warcraft, our love of WoW. We want to share some of that cool stuff. And definitely, we're doing that in honor of patch 7.2.5, which came out today. And I definitely got a chance to already experience some of that content, which was earlier today. So that's awesome. We're going to kind of close things out at the end of the day with talking about some of the amazing games that they were talking about at E3 2017, Los Angeles, California. A lot of exciting news. We're going to get right into it. But the first thing we got to do is what? What, Quinn?
Well, let's try out some whiskey.
Let's try out some whiskey. That's a good idea.
So there's some sad news recently of Adam West passing. And in honor of Adam West, Batman, as we know, we wanted to drink a whiskey.
Yes, Walla Walla, Washington.
It's from Walla Walla, Washington. So we looked and consulted our systems here at the lab to find out where a good distillery is. And we picked up Ula Distillery. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah,
I think you
totally
learned a little bit about.
So Ula Distillery is located in Seattle. It's one of the older distilleries in Seattle. It was founded back in January 2010. And it's located within like that Capitol Hill neighborhood. So it's really vibrant community. They do small batches and handcrafted premium spirits. So they've got vodka, they've got gin, they've got whiskey and different types of whiskey. The one we have today is called Three Shores Black Label. And specifically, it's got some unique features to it. Right, Quinn? It's got...
So what we've got, the Three Shores whiskey, this is a special bottle, limited release. So this is a beautiful, beautiful... I cannot wait to drink. Let's pop this bottle and see what we've got.
Oh my gosh,
here.
I can't wait.
So let's give you some. How much? A little or a lot?
Oh, like a medium.
Okay, medium.
Perfect. That's awesome.
All right.
So as he's pouring, I'm kind of looking at the color of the whiskey, and I can tell you based on the color spectrum of whiskeys, it looks to be a bit of a blend between honey and gold, I would say, in the coloring of that. So this particular whiskey is kind of interesting. It's a blend of three different types, and we're talking about Highland Single Malt. We're talking about American whiskey, and we're also talking about Canadian whiskey. So that's kind of a unique element when it comes down to for a blend to have those different regions represented and then to have it distilled in Washington here.
So you have the Canadian whiskey rye. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, the Canadian whiskey and then the rye from America. Mm-hmm. And then what else?
And then Highland Single Malt. So then we have the coastal highlands of Scotland.
A Highland Scotch is mixed in with it.
Yeah.
That is really nice. In the Cabernet Sauvignon barrels.
That's pretty
so
righteous.
Now it's going to have a sweet taste to it. I'm looking at this color. I think it's kind of coppery. And you see how it's got all these, look at all these bubbles in there.
Yeah.
All right, let's put it to the
Do
nose.
Do you suppose that might be like tannins from the casks of the Cab Sauv?
I don't know. Maybe it's carbonation.
Oh, okay. Cool, interesting fact about Ula Distillery. Ula is actually named after a German shepherd that was on the property. I think maybe still is. I'm not positive, but they Cujo. Say it's the best thing. So best dog ever. I can't agree because I already have three amazing dogs. And if they're listening to this, they're going to get really jealous if I say that Ula's better.
Now, this is 2010.
Yeah, 2010.
Oh, my God. So it's been waiting 7 years
for us to enjoy.
Present itself right here in the lab and be on our show. And we're here drinking it for you.
Absolutely.
The people.
For the people and for Adam West.
For Adam, that's right, for Adam West. We're gonna
for the Batman.
Now let me let me say that's Michael Keaton.
Oh yeah, his is more like How does he talk?
He's very stiff, like Mr. Spock. He's very proper.
I can kind of do Adam West when he's on Family Guy as like Mayor Adam West. He's like, I'm the mayor of Quahog.
Can you do Robin?
Robin. Holy scrambled eggs, Batman.
He smacks his fist into his... All right, now I'm going to get my nose into this. Like an orange peel.
Yeah, I definitely get that. I'm like dried fruit. I'm picking up lots of dried fruit. I think it's super fragrant. But I also think it...
And I can smell the wine.
Yes.
I can smell the French barrels. I can French the smell.
I want to French this.
Sacre bleu.
I want to French this so hard.
Oh, oui, oui.
I can smell oui, oui. No, not just kidding. I cannot smell oui, oui. Aged wood for shizzles. Medicinal. It's got a little bit of a medicinal, which is why, because it's like 96 proof or something like that. So.
Yeah,
it's
very potent. Yeah. So let's raise our glass for Adam West.
Adam West.
And the best Batman ever. Slunger.
There we go. Slunger.
Now on the palate, I pick up a salt and sweet. Both. It's a salty sweet.
I'm with you on that. And I also got a fair amount of honey elements to it. I can taste the honey.
That's the sweetness, I think. Yeah. And then I can taste that citrus, that orange.
Mm-hmm.
Now on the finish, I'm picking up more of that sherry.
Okay.
Kind of that sherry wine. More of the wine.
Do you think it's a finish that lasts a while? Do you think it's one that's...
It lingers.
Yeah.
It lingers. It's very present on the palate. Now, if you were to rate this as a Star Wars character...
Oh.
A rebel character, since this is a North American whiskey. Rebel. Character. Go.
Dude, I don't know if I'm ready. I gotta spend a little.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, you go first.
Drinking this and picking up the, I guess it's a blend, right? It's the blend of the Canadian, the American, and then the Scotch. But this has some wisdom to it. When I drink this with the salty and the sweet, along with the orange, it lends itself to in a story it would be the wise old man.
Okay.
That talks to the protagonist and gives him counsel. The protagonist hears him. This is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay.
No doubt. No doubt in my mind. This is Ben. That crazy old hermit. He's probably dead.
Mos Eisley Spaceport. You will never find another wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious. Mm-hmm. Okay. Obi-Wan. That's going to be hard to beat.
The finish is great.
You know, one thing about the finish that when I was doing a little bit of digging on Ula, one of the distillers, his name is John Fowles, he, in reference to the finish, says, the ghost of a whiskey spending its eternity on the palate. That's what he refers to as this particular whiskey.
That I believe it.
Eternity on the palate.
I believe it. That's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. I actually think if I'm going to pick... I'm going to go kind of a similar vein, and I'm kind of inspired by this quote as well, but based on the wisdom, based on...
You have a silver vein.
Oh, yeah. I have tons of them.
You said it's kind of the silver vein?
A similar vein. Did I say silver?
I'm just tugging your plums. You seem to be stalling in your thoughts, so I thought I was...
Oh, no, I'm just trying to...
Comic relief.
I'm trying to build the hype. That's what I'm trying to do. Can't you feel? Aren't you? Isn't you like?
Yeah,
you're like go. Growing. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Yoda.
Yoda,
because Yoda has been around for like 900 years. Right, he's had a lot of time to really soak up the aspects of the Force, really be one with it. And I think being a Force spirit as he is at the end, that nature comes through. And I think that this whiskey is also sort of there and spends that eternity on the palate, just like he's there no matter where, because the Force binds us, it penetrates us. Ow!
So if you get a chance, you're at the store checking, you haven't wanted to experiment with whiskey from the northwest of the United States in Washington, Ula Distillery. They've got more of these bottles. I'm going to want to try them and put them on the show because there is more to sample on this. This is very good. And I want to see if the other ones also do those kinds of blends or if we're just going to... I want also the Pure Washington.
That's a good point.
I want the Pure Washington.
I know that there is definitely a Three Shores whiskey that's similar, but not... It wasn't finished in that Cabernet Sauvignon cask. So it's not going to have that element in there, which I wonder how much that changes the taste.
Because this one leaves an impression for me of being the sweet, salty, and then the wine, which I know wine is sweet too, but I felt it pull apart. It was more that, it was the orange.
Yeah, that's true. Which I think that is reminiscent of the Highland Scotch as well. So I think maybe we're getting a heaviness from that, which is my favorite region of Scotland anyways when it comes to whiskey. So
yeah,
definitely I enjoyed this. I will be stealing it before I leave today.
It is good. It is good to go.
All right. So with that, make sure to pick this up when you get a chance. When we come back, we're going to talk about the mummy.
All right. Splinter in genitals.
That sounds pretty bad. I'm going to go with it's worse than spending 5 years in a third world prison.
No.
It's not?
No.
All right. Yay! Welcome back. We are back. Fill up your glasses because we are back. And we're going to kick things off talking about The Mummy. Came out in theaters just this past week. I had the unfortunate displeasure of seeing it.
Unfortunate displeasure.
Yeah.
You hated it.
Hate is a strong word, but I really, really, really didn't like it. There's a lot of things that I felt was just lacking. First of all, the story. Story number one, which is, it should be, that's like the basis of everything. That's the foundation of what makes a movie a good movie. The story was absent. It was like a series of vignettes that took place. They were just like, this will be cool. Okay, this would also be cool. So how do we get them from here to here? We don't need to explain that. Let's just have them suddenly be in a plane. All right, cool. All right, so they're in a plane. And then, let's have the plane crash. Because it's cool. It gives us an explosion for the mummy movie. And then they have the plane crash. And then they proceed to use the remaining like hour of the movie to go back and forth from plane crash to the city, back to the plane crash, back to the city, back to the plane crash. The mummy, it's the weirdest part about this movie is that the mummy plays second fiddle so much to Tom Cruise. She's just been called the Tom Cruise.
The Tom Cruise.
I mean, it's just weird. Because, I mean, you have Sophia Boutella, who's gorgeous. And actually, for a mummy, even though she's like a mummy and like gross and like disfigured and decaying, like she's... once she kind of gains back her strength by sucking out the life force of people that are she's nearby, like she's freaking hot. Like she's hot. And... they don't even spend enough time exploring her story and her backstory. All they do is she curses Tom Cruise somehow really early on in the movie. And then he proceeds to like have telepathic conversations with her. And then he's influenced by her to do bad things. And by the end of the movie, Tom Cruise becomes sort of the mummy. Spoiler alert. But it's not really a spoiler because you're not going to see it anyway.
You might see it.
I saw it.
Might see it on DVD.
I saw it, so you won't have to. but, I mean, we're not going to focus on the Mummy movie because if you want that, you're going to have to check out our website, quinnmitchell.com. We have the review up right now, Shoff Screens, The Mummy. In all of its grotesque glory, please enjoy that review, comment, like, share, let us know what you think.
Well, you know what? That movie, The Mummy, that is supposed to be the same story from The Mummy.
Should be. At least, I mean...
And it's the first time they changed it so that the mummy was female.
That is true. That is true. Whether or not that was just to try and...
But it's the same story. It's the same story where... Forget how the original one went. But you had the discovery and then... By some mishap, the curse of the mummy, which was put there to confine him,
mm-hmm.
that would get loose and possess someone, and they want the same thing. They want to wreak their empire. Yeah. We saw that in the Marvel movie, where what's his name came back and he wanted to take over the world. It was played by Oscar Isaac.
You're talking about Apocalypse.
That's it. Apocalypse. Same thing. Apocalypse wants the same thing the mummy wants.
That's true.
It's the same recipe. But
and they're both buried alive, buried away. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, buried away because they were a threat. Yeah. Banished.
Yeah, and she
for
was
10,000 years.
Well, the weird part for this movie, what they kind of changed was her tomb is located not in Egypt, where you would expect it to be, but actually in present-day Iraq, and which was formerly Mesopotamia. They want to make that very clear, that that's former Mesopotamia. Whether or not...
I think it's Persia. No, that's Iran. Yeah. It might be, yeah.
So, but this tiny town, in this scene, it's just how the movie opens up. You're introduced to Tom Cruise. And by the way, his character is not a likable character at all. He's a scoundrel. But not even like a lovable scoundrel, kind of like Han Solo. Like, he's sort of gruff and does his own thing, and he's kind of selfish. But we like him anyway because he's cool. But Tom Cruise is his scoundrel. He's a soldier of fortune, and he goes on these missions. But then he also is trying to steal artifacts from these cultures that he can then sell on the black market and make a bunch of money. And that's his character. Like, doesn't have a whole lot of redeeming qualities. He talks about womanizing plenty. In fact, there's a series of jokes throughout the movie where it's all about Tom Cruise and him boning this chick in the movie. And they try to build up this sense of a relationship between the two of them, but there is none. They've known each other for less than 48 hours. It's basically a one-night stand that they're trying to like perpetuate. And he ends up, by the end of the movie, giving up his own humanity to save her. And becoming this monster in the process. And there's no arc there. He's ugly to begin with. He's ugly at the end. A static main character doesn't really seem like a very valuable storytelling tool.
Well, I wonder if they're going to do the same thing with the other franchises. Yeah, if they're going to take the same story and just change the sex. I don't remember, though, because I'm a little rusty on the original Mummy, but it to me, it's the same story of that comes back from some kind of prison, which was death, and wants to possess someone and reincarnate themselves and make the world in their image. So if that's the same as the original one, then are they going to be true to the lore of Dracula, true to the lore of werewolf and...
Creature
from the Black Lagoon and on and on and on. Or are we going to change it up?
The weirdest part of all is some of these characters don't really seem like they should exist in the same universe. Like, for instance, Phantom of the Opera and Hunchback of Notre Dame. Like, those are supposed to be characters they've talked about for this dark universe as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how exactly does that... Like, I think those characters are iconic for the time period that they thrived in, as well as the city in which they lived. I mean,
right, but you have the undead. They can go on from generation to generation. They exist in that generation too.
Yeah, but I think Quasimodo's just a man with a hump. Like, really, like, he's just a disfigured man.
Right, but Dracula can be exactly the same time because he's undead.
But yeah, I think to myself, like, if you don't have any supernatural abilities, should you really be making a movie about, like, and including that as like a monster movie? I don't know.
Well, that's the horror of it. He had a hunchback.
So I see people on the street.
Why do they call them hunchbacks anyway? Why don't they call them bumpbacks?
Oh my gosh.
You know, that whole thing with the I'm thinking about where they're going with this. And if they do, they're rebooting all of those franchises, right? Dark, Dracula, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep it on par with what Marvel and DC is doing and have this whole thing where there is this interconnectivity. But think about what they're doing with Marvel. They're killing off all the iconic ones. They're giving a new Spider-Man, a new Thor, a new Iron Man. That's for the new generation. So all those old icons are being replaced. And Marvel's spearheading that. So I wonder if they're going to just give us again Dracula, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Mummy, and on and on and on. And then, now that they're here and they're present and relevant again to a new generation, we're going to see them finally get killed off, and it's going to spawn a new one.
I guess.
Think about it. How long do we call the classics the classics?
Yeah, these
the
movies,
same Dracula.
These movies will not be considered classics.
Right, but that's, I bet that's the aim. That's, you yeah. heard it here. You heard it here. Quinn right here on the podcast. 2017, I bet that's where they're going. Why? Because Marvel has already trailblazed that.
Well, like, for instance, I don't know if you've ever been to Universal Studios.
Logan's gone. He's dead. I know. It hurts. And you're wanting to, you're in denial. But I'm here to tell you, Wolverine's dead. It's okay. Breathe it in.
Why did you have to go there?
What are you going to do? Superman's going to go next.
Well, I don't care about that.
So is Batman.
Batfleck
will die.
I just want the Flash movie to happen.
Spider-Man will never die. They'll just keep getting a new kid to do that.
He'll keep getting younger and younger.
It'll be like Harry.
It'll be Spider Toddler. Eventually.
It'll just be, here's Spider-Man again in high school. Still, he's still there.
He got held back. He's supposed to be a genius, but he got held back this time.
They still have this newspaper.
Can I take your picture for the school paper?
The Daily.
The Bugle. Oh my gosh. Well, what's next on the slate for these Dark Universe movies is Bride of Frankenstein. And they're trying to get Angelina Jolie to play Bride of Frankenstein. They have a lot of big names like attached to these iconic monsters. Like, for instance, Javier Bardem is supposed to be playing Frankenstein.
Yeah, I thought he was a pirate.
He's both. He's so good that he can do both. He's a pirate Frankenstein. Then Johnny Depp is going to be playing the Invisible Man, which is probably the best way to watch Johnny Depp, is when you can't see him.
Oh, you don't like him?
I just think he plays the same character every single time.
Bobcat Goldthwait described him as probably one of the most prettiest human beings I've ever
seen. Like this, he was talking about how Johnny Depp is the greatest guy, you know?
He just had this skin, he described him, and said that he was just so calm and chill. He said it was really impressive to work with him.
Well, that's how it is when you know the greats. For me, from afar.
But you don't like the man.
I'm a Judgy McJudgerson.
You don't like him because he plays the same. Well, think about Hugh Grant?
Yeah, but he plays the same thing over and over. The bumbling
romantic comedies.
Romantic, yeah. He does it so well.
God, stick with what you know.
Absolutely. If ain't broke, don't fix it. Who else do we have?
Tom Cruise does the same character.
Yeah, he does. Although this character is different.
Top Gun 2?
Yeah, Maverick. Yeah, that's... Are you excited for that?
Dude, it's like two... It's two... It's we're past it. Who can get excited about... No, that's going to be... I'm going to watch it. I like that. Top Gun was awesome.
Of all the monster movies that exist, for instance, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Frankenstein, Dracula... Invisible Man, Hunchback, all that stuff. Is there any of them that you're excited for or mildly excited for?
I like Dracula the most. I like the whole Dracula thing. That's fun.
What is it about the Dracula story that you like the most? Like,
I don't know if it's so much about the story. I just like that type, that archetype. It's not an archetype. It's what is it? What he is, what he does, the whole he's undead,
like the idea a demon of being immortal and sort of living throughout the ages and witnessing like the rise and fall of different empires and sort of being on the outskirts.
I guess the allure of that is probably, well, there's a huge gaping bad side to that, and that's it, you're dead and you're probably a servant of Satan and you're killing people. That's really bad.
And you can't,
but if you can get over that,
you can't go to the beach. The whole
thing is that you are living forever, you're immortal, and those dudes always are portrayed as living among the elites. They get whatever they want, they have the nicest car, the house, there's no consequence.
Kind of like in Blade.
Yeah, they just live. They're the high society, and they feed off the high society. That's where they're getting their food.
Yeah,
but I think that's probably the allure. Is they're just very sexy and elitist, and then they have this charm, this kind of they're posh.
Totally. Well, yeah.
They're not bums. They're not.
Charm is a key factor in the whole vampire concept, that they can physically charm people.
Yeah, they get close to them. Yeah. Yeah. Where, you know, you think about Frankenstein or...
Frankenstein's just like a... he's a mindless...
He's like a manager, you know, just brainless and doesn't know he's bumbling bouncer. Around. Yeah. Werewolf is cool, though, but...
Yeah, like, werewolf, that's right. They're talking about werewolf. I forget who they were thinking about for werewolf, but... I mean, I think of the movies, I just don't feel like we need it. Like, first of all, just a few years ago, we had Aaron Eckhart playing Frankenstein. Or I'm sorry, Frankenstein's monster is truly what it is. He's not really Frankenstein. That's the doctor. That's the
mad scientist.
but yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I want it to be successful because there's a movie back in the 80s that I loved called Monster Squad. And it featured all of those iconic Universal movie monsters in one movie. And these kids kind of formed this squad, for lack of a better word, and were hunting down and killing these monsters because they all found their way onto this plane of existence. And it was like a comedy, horror, sci-fi movie, and it was so fun. And it just has kind of stayed with me. And so, like, there's that part of me that, from a nostalgia piece, wants to see the movie succeed. And that's why I went to see The Mummy, because I was hoping that it would maybe like a relaunching of a cool franchise. But now I kind of wish that Brendan Fraser were up on the screen, and I don't even like Brendan Fraser, so I think he screams too much. He's everything is, why are we here? Why are we here? Everything is like this.
It worked for Jurassic Park.
That is true.
No, Mummy, I mean.
Yeah, Mummy. Yeah. So Tom Cruise is going to do what Tom Cruise does. He's big in other countries. Internationally, the movie is still doing well. In fact, they just, in a sense, earned back all the profits they would need to break even on their budget. So now whatever happens is a relative success, I guess. Certainly not the end.
I bet that's what's going to happen, though, with that whole dark universe. Remember, well, back in when you had, what's his name? He was the TV personality of Everything Macabre. He would talk about these shows. That's when you had Twilight Zone and you had Creep Show.
Rod Serling?
No. And you had and you had what's her name? The female that was the mistress of the macabre. What was her name?
Elvira.
Elvira, right. And then this is during the 50s, you had this whole radio scene burst out. So these disc jockeys were going across to Mexico and broadcasting on AM, and you had these diner joints with their burgers, and you had Howling Wolf or Wolfman Jack.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
And what's that dude's name? I can't think of his name, but he would... Price?
Is it Vincent Price?
Vincent Price. That's his name. Yeah.
I kind of thought that's who you're talking about. Yeah.
They all thrived in that era of those movies.
Totally.
With the Mummy and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and all of that.
Yes.
So what I see is a resurgence.
That's
true. I'm forecasting a resurgence because with these dudes, all of the Dark Universe, you're going to have more of that. Those personalities on TV.
Yeah, Vincent Price, what a personality. I mean, to be featured in a Michael Jackson song, Thriller, to have that entire moment. Which, by the way, hopefully my parents aren't watching or listening to this because I used to take their record of Thriller and I would play it in a record player.
Backwards? In your Satan music?
I had no idea how
to
use
it. And then you turned into a Dracula? Is that what you're going to say?
Damn it, took the words right out of it. I would play it, but I didn't really know how to play it. And so I would scratch the thing so bad, but I only wanted to play one song, which was Thriller. I loved Thriller. Specifically, I loved the Vincent Price part. And I ruined it.
Mm.
I can't. Now what Vincent Price is like, doc, and that's over.
You trashed it. It's
gone.
I
ruined it. It's over. So you
broke the vinyl.
So don't invest in records.
Records are cool. It's better than digital recording.
So again, check out our website, quinnmitchell.com. Let us know what you think about The Mummy. If you liked it, you represent the minority, but we still appreciate you and love you just the same.
Now let's talk about World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
Oh, but first, you wanted a refill.
I do. I'm getting kind of low. Do you want a refill?
Yeah, I'm going to pour myself.
Okay.
Are you good? You don't want one?
I can take a little bit.
Nah, you don't want one.
Okay, fine. I don't want one.
All right, so what's new on World of Warcraft? Your favorite game.
I know. I can't get enough of it. I kind of wish that I didn't like it so much. You ever have those moments?
No.
Yeah, I kind of like kick myself sometimes. I'm like, man, I wish this game wasn't so enjoyable. It would make things so much easier.
What other games do you play?
Well, I mean, I do have a Nintendo Switch. And so occasionally I will play Mario Kart or Minecraft. I love Minecraft. That's a kind of a good, like, mindless game where you can just build. And I like to see what I can make creatively with just using blocks. I used to be like a Lego fanatic. And I think to some degree I still am. I just don't. Lego is such an investment because those are not cheap. Those sets are not cheap. But I always admire people building stuff with Legos. And to have my hands on Minecraft, I can kind of do the same thing in a virtual world. And it's a lot of fun.
Cool.
So, and I have Xbox One, but I don't really play that much anymore. In favor of WoW.
But what games do you play? Just those two? The Minecraft and the...
Yeah, that's all I have.
What was the other
one? Oh, and Zelda. And Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. And then there was one on the Switch?
Those are all on the Switch. Minecraft, Mario Kart.
Mario Kart, that's it. Yeah.
And Zelda, yeah. But yeah, I keep finding myself, if I'm going to pick a game to play, like if I've got that free time, it's going to be WoW. Because there's so much to do.
I'll be playing WoW at the retirement home. I'll be in the retirement home still playing. I'll say, this mouse needs to go faster.
Get me a new battery.
This is... lame, the worst mouse ever.
I got so much lag optical right now. I don't even have my graphics up to ultra. But today is patch day, which was I logged on during my lunch break.
Nice.
And there was an incredible, actually. So you've talked about this before to me privately. We've mentioned how sometimes on like those patch days or update days on Tuesdays, they'll warn you that the server's about to go down.
Yeah, restart.
I've never seen that. Never seen it happen until today.
Yeah.
It was like, I logged on. And just from logging on, I was like, I had just been on for maybe 2 seconds. And then the little prompt says, you have 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was like, 30 seconds. What? I kind of forgot what it was. And then, you know, 15 seconds. I'm like, no, I just took my lunch. This is like the worst timing in the world. So, but then I waited and for the realms to go up. And first of all, I didn't even know there were that many realms. There are tons.
You went through that menu to find.
Yeah. Well, it popped up on my screen. I had never seen it before.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always see like people on different realms, but until you see that list, you don't have no clue just how deep and vast that whole divide goes. I mean, that's crazy. And that we're technically part of an RP realm, are we not?
Yeah, it's a Kerber server.
But are people on that server role-playing? Like,
yeah.
See, I think that's really cool.
It is cool.
Have you ever tried that?
Oh, yeah.
So when you roll a tune, what's your top tune, like your top class that you like to roll?
I play humans.
Really?
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's the one. I know you like to play the trolls, right?
I like anything that nobody's picking.
Anything that's got a big long nose and you're like attracted to that. Like, I can find a use for that. That is cool. I want that in my life.
Finally a tune that looks like me.
I find a tune with a utility. I can get excited about this.
Talk about smelling the nosing glasses and getting the good whiskeys
from Yeah, me. That's what no, you
I,
use it for.
Yeah, I always pick the races of tunes that are the ones no one's touching. Like, you don't see a lot of gnomes out there, and I'm definitely going gnome.
You like to play gnome, I know.
I like to play the gnome.
Yeah.
But like class, okay, we're talking, now I'm getting more into like nitty gritty. So, I mean, if you had to pick between, say, warrior, rogue, all that stuff, what's going to be your tune?
Well, I main a Death Knight and a Shaman. Can I have two mains?
I guess you can. Like Legion's kind of weird for that.
I guess my main of the mains is the Death Knight, and then I play a Shaman. But I like any class. I think the only class I don't like... No, I don't... I like them all. They're all cool, yeah.
Really?
But those are my two favorites.
That's kind of a safe answer.
Most definitely. That's what I do. That's what I do.
So prior to...
But I've played other classes. I have them all, actually.
So prior to Wrath, you weren't, obviously we didn't have Death Knights. What were you playing? What was your main tune then?
Prior to Wrath?
Wrath of Lich
Warrior.
King. Warrior? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Arms Warrior?
I was a Protection Warrior. I was a tank, yeah.
Oh. Uh-huh. Was that during your raiding days?
This turned into an interview of Quinn, right? We're interviewing Quinn.
Is that so bad?
No, I didn't. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know I was going to be on the docket. Had I would have prepared some notes.
It's a good thing you know about yourself.
Yeah, it's a good thing I know. So we're going to talk about the patch and some things that came out. What do you like about the patch? What do you know? Tell us.
So,
give us the news.
Obviously, we have some new legendary gear. We've got some Mythic Plus updates. By the way, Mythic Plus, I'm going to just put it out there. I know zilch about Mythic Plus. I don't understand it. Why? Because my tune isn't strong enough to be doing any Mythic Plus shit. Okay?
I think you can do Mythic.
No. Mythic, yes. Mythic Plus, I don't even want to try. Yeah. Mythic Plus is, I think that's just raider, like if you are like a raiding guild, that's where you go. Like,
yeah, of course.
With all like the key,
that's the toughest
keystones and all that stuff. Yeah. Not for me.
It's really hard.
But I'm interested in time walking. I'm really interested in time walking because I just found out that there's that mount, the Heavenly Jade, Cloud Serpent.
There are two mounts.
Yeah, the Azure and the Jade, right?
I think that's right.
And you earn the badges.
No, there's the dragon.
That's what I mean.
Oh yeah.
Is it a dragon or is it a serpent?
I thought you said the Cloud Serpent.
That's what I said.
Oh yeah, it's a dragon.
Oh, okay.
There's that, and I think a steed. Actually, I don't know. I have my eyes on that dragon.
I gotta look up that dragon.
That dragon looks kick ass.
Yeah. See, I just saw somebody with.
But I really recently got my class mount.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for the Death Knight, and that's really cool because it has a little coffin on the back. You didn't know that.
You're right. I didn't.
I'm just kidding. You're the one that told me about it.
I didn't know that.
You got yours before me, but I like that coffin in the back. Now, is that my coffin? And that's my corpse. Or is that just for all my food and shit? That's like this really cool. That's like a really cool trailer for me to put my Harley in there.
That's for your laptop on your way to work. No, that's that should probably be your coffin. That makes sense.
But I'm walking. But what's in there?
That's,
you don't know.
No,
you don't know, do you?
Well, there's a level that we haven't reached yet where you actually open that coffin.
Oh,
it's part of the patch.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm just kidding.
Because it's not your corpse in there. You know why?
Because you're undead.
Because you're in your corpse.
Right.
You are the corpse.
Yeah.
So.
That you occasionally have to drag.
What's with the coffin?
The coffin is. Yeah.
That's weird, huh?
It's for Cinnabons.
That's what you have in yours, huh?
Yeah, I got tons of Cinnabons in mine. I love Cinnabons.
The class mount is cool. And I'm close to getting the one for my shaman. But the Death Knight one was cool because you had to go to Northrend and do that whole exact same scenario that Prince Arthas did.
Okay, so.
And then you get your own little personal Sindragosa. We were talking about personal Wonder Woman. This is your personal Sindragosa. So it's a little different.
It is a little different.
I mean, you had.
Okay, so about that quest, I have to say it was a little bit annoying.
No, it was fun.
No, there was an aspect of annoying.
I read all the quests. All the lines that pop up, I read all of that.
See, I just wanted to get them out. So
you're just clicking through, and
I was like, okay, accept.
And then you're like, yeah. Just go. Just give me a round.
That deserves a drink.
Yeah. I want my mount. I want my mount! And you're like, I got my mount. It's got a coffin on it. Well, it's in the coffin.
It's also got two...
Oh, did you see that? The saddle is made of skulls. And two swords are stuck in there like an X. So that's your rest. Yeah. That's your backrest, dude. They call it a backrest.
I was hoping there'd be some ape hangers, but unfortunately, no.
Ape hangers, yeah.
Just
be
on the Drake. Wouldn't that be cool?
Now that's kick ass, because now there's a coffin behind you and swords behind you as a backrest, and you have ape hangers.
Oh, you know what's so cool, though, about the patch? Part of the patch is the new Dark Moon Festival, right? So within that, they've got those cool new gear that you can get. One of them is the guitar mace, And then they've also got like the crazy like cage helmet that looks like you're just
about gladiator.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that looks so badass.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be really cool. Transmog.
I freaking love it. Yeah. Now, let me go back to the mount thing. Like the Death Knights did, that whole thing was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. The Lich King's presence would come into you and speak, and the presence would leave.
That's true.
So he was able to possess you and tell you about what he saw. And there was this whole thing where he explained what he saw and sent you on this mission to go this and do that and execute judgment and kill. Do they do the same with all the classes?
That's what I wonder. So I'm
working, I don't know.
I know you're working towards your shaman.
I still have a little bit more to go on reaching the tomb.
Yeah.
And then I begin the shaman quest.
See, so I'll know. Yeah, I'm about halfway through breaching the tomb on my druid. And then same thing. You know, I'm excited to see what that goes. I think the shaman mount is pretty badass. It's like the freaking genie. Cool. Or it's kind of like a genie. It looks like a genie. Or an elemental of some kind.
Yep, it's an elemental, yeah.
That's awesome. I felt like the Death Knight quest, though, there was a lot of back and forth from the edge of Northrend to Wormrest. Back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, but you know why? Because your mount is from the Red Dragons.
Oh, yes. And I actually have... So
you got a baby Red Dragon dead and raised. So you had to go and kill them to get it.
That's true. Part of that, by the way, when you go Ruby. Into the... Yeah, when you go into the Crimson Dragon area.
Ruby Sanctum.
Thank you so much.
Wormrest Record.
When you go in there, if you kill all the red dragons, you get a special achievement. But guess what? Blizzard didn't think it was fair that they didn't announce that achievement or make it more known. So they took it away. Not only did they take it away for people to get going forward, they took it away from people who got it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Kind of messed up.
Yeah, I tweeted that. That same thing that and people and I think it was just
feat of strength or something like
that. Yeah. And they took it away because they thought it was too savage.
Yeah.
Well, just went in there and slaughtered dragons for no reason, just to get that, what was it, a book or something? I forget what it was.
Yeah, you just had to go across the way to the other campsite
and take their plans or something
like that.
You could have just bypassed them.
By the way, when I went into that area, I went straight for the center dragon, thinking that I had to kill the boss. I looked at the dragon's like item, their level, and of course he had just a bunch of question marks because he had been like boosted like well beyond a solo event. Nothing I could take on.
So he got killed.
Worked me hard. I just like bent over and took it. It was that bad.
You died.
I died, and then I of course went back to my body, and I was corpse dragging towards the camp because I had already pulled everything.
I walked past all those dragons. And then found that, I want to say it's a book.
I think it is a book.
And I slaughtered all the dragons and they were there because I was like, you took it. I got to kill all of y'all because you took it. And so all of you are complicit in this crime and you've got to pay because the Lich King said, kill or let live. It's up to you. So I had to meet judgment. I'm a death knight.
That's right.
That's what I do. I do death. But then I walked past all their comrades and I said, yeah. Just make a move. They didn't go after me, so I walked out and I'm good to go. But I'm interested to see if there are other rich stories for each of those class mounts.
I hope
for
the different.
Because I think about the rogue and the hunter and how that's going to work. So
the hunter mount looks really cool. The rogue is kind of a cool raven looking
one. The rogue is a cool one.
Yeah.
The hunter mount I'm not too crazy about.
I'm excited about the druid mount because it also can carry passengers while flying. Which is really cool. Because it's not really a mount so much as it is an appearance, a travel form.
No, there's the travel form and then there's the mount.
No, they're one and the same.
The owl?
Yeah.
It's the travel form?
You become the owl and then you can carry people on your back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it's a lot like getting the Vial of Sands, but without all the grinding for alchemy and everything.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. Black Temple time walking is also going to be part of patch 7.2.5.
Oh, nice.
With actually gear sets for Death Knights because they weren't around at that time.
That's so going to be good.
That's going to be really exciting.
Yeah.
Death of Chromie. I'm kind of excited about that. I didn't have a chance to try it out And then, of course, Trial of Style. I think that's probably what I'm most looking forward to, is participating in that event, because kind of a cool micro holiday to put on your best transmog and go with four other people and get rated to see who's got the best looking outfit.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. I think, like as it. A guild, what if, like, the five of us, like, just did that together and then, like, they rated?
Well, how is it judged?
That's a good question.
That's what I wondered when I read that.
Maybe it's based on other people who attend and they vote.
Yeah, I think it is players. But that can easily turn into a goof.
Well, because you could stack the deck. Yeah.
People are just going to troll it.
That's true.
And you like trolls.
Actually, the truth is, you're the only one who's rolled a troll in this room.
I like trolls. That's because of the way they dance, man.
You like the trolls, man. You, every time you buy an NPC, you laugh at them.
Yep. Now, when we get back, we're going to talk about the expo, you said?
Yeah. Los Angeles, the E3 Expo.
All right, let's do it.
Cubes caught in zipper. Dude, that sucks. I'm saying that's like gotta be like 100.
That pools. It's like,
from, you know, guy to guy, we know. If that were to happen, okay, that's way worse than spending 5 years in a third world prison.
You're wrong, dude.
What?
Try again.
Is it worse than having all four tires slashed?
No, it's not worse.
That's ridiculous. These are clearly
this
all
is
women.
This is a 12.
No, okay, all women are part of this survey, okay? None of them who actually have pubes understand.
No, you know why? I get it. Because to some people, pain brings pleasure.
Oh, that could be true.
It could be a moment.
Immediate erection.
Some people do that to themselves during masturbatory activities.
Are you speaking from experience?
No, I think that some people get turned on by pain.
It's possible.
I mean,
moving on. All right. So, to follow up that.
You are back. We're back for the sci-fi happy hour.
Thank you so much for sticking around. You did the right thing. Pat yourself on the back.
So we're going to talk about some the Entertainment Expo, right?
Yes. So in Los Angeles every year, they do the Electronic Entertainment Expo, commonly called E3. It's probably the video game mecca in terms of all the cool things that are happening. Every developer attends with their own special games they're going to announce for the first time, share trailers for upcoming games either later this year or into 2018, and really just sort of set the standard on this is what, if you get our console, this is what you can look forward to.
So what game stood out in your mind that you liked?
So of all the exhibits, I think the strongest presentation was PS4. PS4 really brought it with a lot of great games. I think the biggest and most exciting games, ones I'm most looking forward to, are Star Wars Battlefront 2. I have Battlefront, the first game. It's a good game. It's not great. There's things. I think that they resolve it in this game. Spider-Man for PS4, which is an exclusive game, by the way. You cannot get Spider-Man on any other system.
By the way, Star Wars and Spider-Man, those games, the trailers for those, look gorgeous.
I know.
They look amazing. They look so gorgeous. So awesome. Well, I can't stand it.
And what's crazy is that we're at a point
I want to play it right away.
Like when I was watching it, I was like, all this web slinging happening, like back and forth, and how graceful and seamless the combat was. That was the most amazing part, is that it wasn't like you had four moves that you just kept doing. There was so much acrobatic.
It was awesome.
Combat. It was very impressive. And it was very cinematic too.
Yeah.
And that was gameplay.
That was gameplay.
That's the coolest thing about E3, is that most of the time these trailers are actual gameplay.
Oh yeah. Now, when you said Battlefront 2 had improved on Battlefront, what are those points?
Well, one of the main problems that they had was it wasn't very multiplayer friendly in terms of like split screen type stuff. And going forward, there's a lot more co-op opportunities that are going to be available for like couch co-op, which is I think that's more fun. Like, yes, you can log on and you can do Xbox Live or you can do PSN and connect with people. But sometimes it's just as fun to have a friend over sitting on the couch, eating popcorn and drinking a whiskey. And
they have an option for that?
They have a better option for that. And it's going to be fleshed out much better than it was previously. The gameplay actually expands across all three eras. So whether that be the prequels.
So, okay, so you're saying Battlefront 2 has the this over the first Battlefront. The first Battlefront didn't
have
that. It just
expands on it. It just gets, it's more refined.
Okay.
Yeah. But one thing that Battlefront 2 has that Battlefront 1 did not is a campaign mode. So you get to play as a nice. Unique individual character who has no ties to anything else. I think she's actually an Empire character, which is kind of unique.
She's an Empire.
Yeah, three strikes and you're out. But she's part of the Empire, and I don't know the details. I don't want to even speak on that. But when you're playing in the skirmish modes, which are all like the dogfights and whatever else, mm-hmm. you've got access to the prequel trilogy, the episode 4 through 6, and then also the new series as well, which is really cool because they had some scenes with Rey and Kylo Ren duking it out,
cool
lightsaber style. They still was a bunch of Darth Maul facing off against Yoda. Like, how that's an awesome battle that we never got a chance to see, you know. And Darth Maul technically still lived in the Star Wars Clone Wars series, you know, beyond the fact. So
that's where Boba Fett.
Yeah, Boba Fett was in there too. He had a brief appearance.
I'm telling you, they're all still alive. Now, Spider-Man, are you going to get it?
Spider-Man, okay, so here's the cool thing about Spider-Man is that it's a game that I would absolutely buy the console for. Totally.
So you're going to get it?
Yes.
Okay.
I have plenty of time to save.
There we go. Checkmate.
I have plenty of time to save, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. That movie looks, I mean, the movie, it's so cool looking. I can watch that gameplay forever.
I know.
It's fun.
It was like a 10-minute trailer, which, you know, sometimes I would say 10 minutes and be like, okay, I'm kind of done with this. I've seen enough. I was glued.
It plays like a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much interesting combat was happening in terms of the way that which he was saving the city from all the debris falling and the giant crane. Oh my gosh, that crane scene was insane.
Yeah, that was cool.
Oh my gosh. All those...
So what other games did you like?
Assassin's Creed Origins. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Assassin's Creed. When I played the first few games on Xbox, my brother got the game and he let me play it in his room a few times. So amazing. I love the concept of that parkour element because that's really the game that kind of defined parkour for us. And the idea of stealthy assassinations. Who doesn't like that? Being part of like this unique brotherhood. It's really cool. But then this particular game is going to take it back to the beginning when the assassin sort of first kind of came about, which is a unique element in the history of the franchise. Back to basics. So there, pyramid scaling. I mean, the guy was like sliding down the edge of the pyramid. I thought that was really cool. The cool part about this type of game, especially, and same thing with Spider-Man too, is your interaction with the environment. It's visceral. It's something it's very tangible. You can get involved with and be a part of the city, the game, all of that environment is just as much a character in those games as the people are, which I think is really exciting. Well, you saw,
is the story improved at all?
Well, I don't know enough to say what person they're focusing
for
on.
For Assassin's Creed, I'm saying.
Well, I like the, so we can't base it off of the movie. Because,
right.
Yeah. But I think the story element is great.
Because you're going back to the origins, as though is it an interesting story, is what I'm wondering.
I hope so.
Within the game.
I hope so. I mean, there's only so much that we were kind of gleaned on.
What kind of story is it in Spider-Man?
Spider-Man is a unique story. It has no ties to any universe that has previously existed. It's not a movie it's not a game that's supposed to be.
Do we get to see the classic villains?
I hope so. Right now, the trailer showed a character I've never even seen before, Martin Lee. I don't know that character from the
comics. Yeah, and he was in charge of the demons.
Yeah, the demon gang. Yeah, although we did see Wilson Fisk. And Wilson Fisk is the Kingpin, who's an iconic Spider-Man villain. Also a very important villain in the Daredevil franchise, too. So
yep.
So he's a big part of Marvel. So we got to see him sort of being in the mix of things. So that's exciting, too.
So what other games... What other games did you like there?
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Shadow of the Colossus. So back in the day.
You would be remiss.
I would be remiss.
Well, don't be remiss.
No, I don't want to be. So I'm not going to be.
Okay.
Because I'm going to talk about it.
All right.
Shadow of the Colossus is a pretty epic game. This is actually going to be a remake of a game that came out in 2005. and it was on PS2 originally. It's gonna be on PS4 coming out in 2018. The game is based on a character. It's a really unique element because at the time when this game first came out, there wasn't games like this where you played a character in an open world. There were no like minions to face off against, no mobs, no other characters to talk to. There wasn't anything. There were no items to pick up, no treasures to find. It all it was.
Sounds like an interesting place already.
Yeah, all it was you were by yourself. You had a horse named Argo, and you as the character of Wander would legitimately wander throughout this this open world trying to kill these giant colossi, which are huge titans that roam this particular plane. And they all have unique elements to them. Some are flying titans. Some are underwater titans. So the elements of the physics of the game become into play because you're so small, they're so huge, you have to actually climb them and find weak points on their body, which is, and they're like kind of like, they have this little like tattoo, sort of like a signifier that if you stab here, you're going to do some real damage to them. And so you have to like climb all around them to figure out where those spots are, and they're different all the time. Meanwhile, the Titan is walking around and shaking you off, and if he shakes you off, you're pretty much dead because you're falling from like 100 plus feet. So the battles are all very unique and complex, and they have phases, and it's very exciting. And the game itself had this concept, and it had like a really unique twist at the end of it too. And although this is not a sequel, this game coming out in 2018, it's going to be a remake, but think of the new graphics that we can expect, the level of the detail in these scenes. I'm really looking forward to it.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. And then, of course, PS4 is also bringing us God of War again. Now, have you played God of War previously?
I've heard of it.
I think you probably remember it when it was the Greek mythology. Yeah, type stuff, right? Yeah. So previously the franchise kind of went that route. It was dealing with Zeus and all of the Greek gods and them fighting out in Ares and this or that. And Kratos, in the center of it all, is just trying to get redemption for some sins that he committed when he was a soldier killing innocent people. And so now at the end of the third game, he has a son. And his son, I think his name is Atreus or something like that. Anyways, the two of them are now together as a cohesive team, and he has to be a father figure. And he's like this mass murdering protagonist, very much an anti-hero, and how he's going to impart his own wisdom and be a good dad. And so that element kind of weaves its way through in this new storyline. They moved the locale from Greece to Norway, and now we get the Norse gods and Norse mythology. It's going to predate.
So he's climbing on Odin?
Yeah.
He is?
I think. I don't know.
you said yeah.
You like obviously, it was. Well, maybe.
Oh, you know.
I'm hopeful. I mean, obviously you want to see him climb on guys, but okay.
I don't want to see him climb on guys. I just thought
you were hopeful for it.
Well, you said Norse gods, so I said, "Oh, is he going to be climbing on Odin?"
He might. I mean, I can't put a finger on it to say that's going to happen for sure, but don't like
quote. You never know.
Yeah, it's possible. But yeah, this game is going to be one that gets all the awards. The graphics are insane. The physics of it are also really really impressive, and I think it's going to change lives. Which game are you most looking forward to?
Star Wars. That one looks cool.
Because you played Battlefront, some of the previous versions of Battlefront.
Yeah. I don't ever played Battlefront. Yeah, I played Battlefront. Wasn't there a Battlefront 2 already?
There was.
Okay, yeah. That's what had me confused.
The old, Battlefront 2. That's right.
Because I have Battlefront and Battlefront 2.
On PC?
Yeah.
Was it on Battlefront PC. 2 that had where you could go between the two ships? Like there was a Star Destroyer and there was like, and you had to like actually fly your ship into like the hangar and things like that.
Yep, that's it.
I love that. That was always a lot of fun. You'd have to like go and like.
So why did they call this Battlefront 2?
It's kind of a reboot.
It's going to be better.
It's got to be
better.
Yeah.
It's going to be Christmas. It's going to be a Christmas gift.
There's a lot of things to look forward to. A lot of stuff coming out end of year. And that was just Sony. I mean, Nintendo had some great presents too. They're going to have a Pokemon game coming out for Nintendo. Kirby, Yoshi, Super Mario Odyssey, Metroid Prime 4. There's so much happening.
Have you ever been to the E3?
No, I wanted to go.
We should send you.
Yeah.
We should send you as the Sci-Fi Happy Hour delegate.
For just $1 a day.
You should go and then spread cheer and take pictures and bring back the juice.
So, okay, I'll leave tomorrow because it technically starts today. So for the next few days.
So like next year, we plan for it, send you.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about
the
going,
E3.
Going tomorrow. I'm not going tomorrow.
Do you have an airline ticket?
Did you buy me one?
Did you ask? Or did you just come up with it after I mentioned it?
I was just spitballing. So there's a lot of good stuff to look forward to. Somehow it'll have to break me away from WoW for a little while so I can play some of these new games.
I'm serious. You should go to the E3 2018.
I will put it out.
Sci-Fi Happy Hour delegate. So if you see us there.
Yeah. Flag us down. We'll be wearing t-shirts.
And, if you find us
t-shirts there, and top hats.
We have a gift for you. There'll be a special surprise if you find us there.
That's right.
You have to find us. You have to walk up to us.
And you have to ask for it.
Because we'd be the ones that are wearing the Sci-Fi Happy Hour shirt.
Yes. Which you know you're going to want one of those too.
We'll have a gift for you. There'll be a surprise. There'll be a surprise.
A surprise. So with that, as always.
With that.
You can always find us online, on the interwebs.
QuinnMitchell.com.
We have tons of articles. We also have blog posts from both of us. Shop screens it, and then Quinn has a series of awesome blog posts.
The Mighty Blog.
The Mighty Quinn, absolutely. Just tons of fun stuff on the site.
And then if you get a chance, try out some Ula from the distillery in Washington and use our Star Wars whiskey chart. See if you can find a rating for it.
Thank you so much for your support. We'll see you next week. Back to the lab for more whiskey.
Yeah, come back for more, y'all.
Have a great week.
We're going to be here.